This is a sad, sad day. BFM, the font of liberalism and tolerance at the centre of the University of Auckland.
The Wire.
More than 200 homes have been red-stickered and at least 5,000 have been damaged after the devastating deluge across Tamaki Makaurau in the Upper North Island. Experts are warning that health hazards such as mould and contamination could be waiting for residents returning to their homes. I spoke to senior lecturer at Massey University's School of Built Environment, Dr. Michael Bulick, who says Auckland's current conditions are the worst case scenario for mould to grow. We started off our interview discussing what steps people should take when cleaning up their flood-damaged property.
So the first thing is make sure that you got clearance from authority. Make sure, because it's your, after flooding, your house could be a kind of a risky place, a lot of hazards. So make sure that you've got the right to get back to your house. Something very important also, during flooding, you've got a lot of overflow from sewage. So you can also have not only mold, but viruses, bacteria. You have to be careful of not putting yourself at risk.
Can you tell our listeners about some of the measures they can take to minimise the risk of mould growth and contamination in their homes?
Yeah, so what I would like to do first is to give you a background about how mould is growing. So first, to get mould in your house, you need three things. The first one, it's what we call mold spores, like seeds from plants, from trees. So molds are everywhere, so you've got mold everywhere in your house. Even if it's a dry house, you will have mold coming from trees, coming from inside, coming from activities. So you've got always mold in your house. But what you want, you don't want them to grow. Second, you need food. And mold will have food because mold is growing on fabrics, wood, textile, papers. So mold is growing on any type of support. So you've got the seed or the spores, you've got the food. The last thing you need to control, and it's what we are talking about today, it's the water. It's the only parameters or only factors you can control. So you have to make sure that your house will get dry as soon as possible. The way to dry the house, I mean, in this situation after the flooding in Auckland, I mean, we've got more or less a week of rain after. It's very tricky. And also we are in the worst season because the temperature is very high. And as you know, everything, biological things are going very well when the temperature is quite warm. So we are in the worst case scenario for mold to grow. So the easiest thing will be to dry as quick as possible. But how do you dry your house when it's raining outside? This is a big question.
How can people properly clean their items that may be flood damaged to prevent mold from spreading on them?
So to clean the items, the first thing will be to make sure that you don't have any overflow from sewage, because you can end up with not only clean water, but also water coming from sewage. So you have to be sure that it's cleanable first. Then after, if there are, what I will recommend, instead of using bleach, because I know that a lot of people are using bleach, but it's quite a nasty product for our skin, I will use vinegar and water. So usually people say about 80% vinegar and 20% water. You just mix both together, and it's much, I will say, friendly product than using bleach. And then after, when it's clean, I mean, you think it's clean, you just try to dry it as quick as possible. But again, with this weather during the week, I mean, it will be very hard to clean it and to dry it.
Why is it so important for people to be concerned about mold?
Because mold can trigger a lot of things. For example, if you've got some skin issues, so like eczema or something like this, so mold will trigger, you can have more issues with mold. Again, people with who are immune depressed, also their immune system is depressed, so they have to be careful not be in contact with mold, because mold are producing mycotoxin. Mold also are producing some allergen, And so you can have some allergy to mold. And if you got from issues like asthma, for example, so asthma could also be triggered by mold. So you have to be careful because mold could be a nasty product.
Do you have any other advice for our listeners who may be experiencing flood damage in their homes?
So the key issues with mold, as I said, so you've got the spores, you've got the food, so you need to control the water. So if you've got your house been flooded, so the only things you can do is to try to dry it as soon as possible. So if you got a dehumidifier at home, for example, and with this rainy weather at the moment, what you can do, you can close all windows, you run your dehumidifier as on high speed, or you can even borrow or hire a professional dehumidifier. You can also start your heater, because what you want is to try to dry as quick as possible. So heater plus dehumidifier, trying to remove water from the carpet, remove water from the Jeep, remove water from paper, from clothes, from any product who's been damaged with flooding. So try to remove water as quick as possible. But I understand that with this outside, with this weather at the moment, it could be very tricky. It's a very unfortunate situation at the moment, and very, very tricky. And it's not only mold. I think people are got issues also with the structure of the building, because flooding it was an issue, but also I know that quite a lot of houses got issues with the structure. It's very unfortunate situation for New Zealand at the moment, for Auckland. And as I said, I mean, with this weather, I mean, it's very hard to dry your house. So just, very, very hard. Maybe something we can discuss, it's how do you know that it's you are ready to go back to your house? So how do you know that you clean the mold? Because the problem with mold also, it's you've got the visible mold and you've got also some mold which are invisible. For example, you've got some mold which are white, and if you got the Jeep, which is a white background, so you won't see the white on white. So it's you won't see it, so you won't clean it. So what I will recommend, it's if you got a very bad damage before moving back, so it's to ask a professional, a lab, to do some sampling and to make sure that there is no very high level of mold in your house. And how do you tell that the level is very high? Usually because for mold, we don't have a very well-defined guidelines to tell that, for example, a number of spores per liters of air or number of spores per cubic meters of air, it's the norm. So we don't have this type of thing. So what we do usually, we work on what we call the relative quantity. So we compare an area which has been damaged and with an area which has not been damaged. So you do the comparison. And you see how far you are from the clean area. So you look at the mold level in the clean area, which is a normal kind of healthy area, and then you go to your flooded area and you do the same samples and you look at the result and you see how much more you got in your flooding area. So what you want is to go back to the normal, the non-damaged area level of mold.
What would the cost be of hiring someone like a professional flood cleaner? Is this something that's going to be, do you think, accessible for everyone, especially those who might already be experiencing some financial pressure because of the impact of the flood on them?
Very good point. It's a very good point. I don't know exactly the cost per hour to hire someone to do some sampling and then after to do some mold identification and counting. But you're right, it's we might talk about a couple of thousand dollars in total. So yes, it might also put some more pressure, financial pressure, on people who have already been impacted. I completely agree with you. Yes, this is an issue also. So I don't know what will be the solution, but I'm talking about making sure that you are healthy, you got back to healthy environment. So it's a very tricky situation because people are being financially impacted, and now you ask them to spend more money to make sure that they are living in a healthy environment. I completely agree with this, but it's a reality.
That was Dr. Mikhail Bulik from Massey University speaking on the health hazards caused by flooding. And we'll be back right after this short break. Keep it on the beat.